We're doing the Ketzur Shulchan Aruch Mikor Chayim. We're doing the laws of Shabbat. We're up to the 57th chapter. And the subject is work, which we start on Friday, which will run into Shabbos. So we all do that. We turn on Shabbos candles, and they stay lit going into Shabbos, right? We turn on a light, and it stays lit. What about if we're going to turn on a hose, and it's going to continue watering on Shabbos? What about if I'm going to push a button, and production will run in my factory throughout Shabbos, on autopilot? We leave our internet attached to the router, and we have a constant connection to the internet. We do a lot of things that really, we start on Friday, and then run into Shabbos. You put up a cholent. So you put food on the hot plate, and continues cooking into Shabbos. So we do this a lot. And the question is, what's permitted and what's prohibited? So the Torah says, 6 days you should do your work, and on the seventh day you should rest. So the stress is, you shouldn't do work on Shabbos. It doesn't say all your work should cease to happen in 6 days. It says you should cease to work after 6 days. But you may start something which will continue on its own going into Shabbos. So it is permissible to start work and let it run into Shabbos on autopilot. It's permissible for my objects to be doing work on Shabbos. My animal may not do work on Shabbos. My servant may not do work on Shabbos, but my objects may. So, what?
Maybe I'm getting ahead of us, but the whole reason you're not supposed to ride a bicycle on Shabbat is because
of my
brake.
Wait, we'll get there.
So
slowly.
What if you hit the button and your machinery breaks?
Excellent. That's a great question. Excellent. Bezat Shem, I will see the answer. If not tonight, then later. But that's an excellent question. It's mamash. Beautiful. So he writes like this. You can turn on the watering system, the sprinkling system. Yes? And now your sprinkler is going to run going into Shabbos. And then you shut the main valve, because if you shut all the other valves, so then what happens is you're going to shut the water for one sprinkler, and then the other sprinkler will get more water. So you inadvertently cause the second sprinkler to work harder or to water more. So that's why he says the correct way to do it is shut the top valve for all the sprinkling systems or for all the water, and then shut all the valves on the different sprinklers, and then you could turn on the valve for all the water. Because you don't want a situation where you shut this sprinkler, and so the other sprinkler got more water, so you ended up watering that grass some more.
I thought you couldn't grow anything.
You're not growing it. You set up the sprinkling system and the water just keeps flowing on Shabbos. You turned it on Friday and it runs into Shabbos. I didn't do anything. I left it on autopilot. This is an example in the Gemara. The Gemara says in their days they would set a dam, meaning they'd have a stream running through the fields, and whichever field wanted water would close the dam, and then the water would overflow into his field. So the Talmud says, you're allowed to put a dam, close the dam on Friday afternoon, and then all Shabbos long, your field is going to get watered. That's okay. So we don't have that. We have a sprinkling system, but that's okay. The only problem is that if your sprinkling system is going to work on Shabbos, where is your mind? What are you going to be looking at all the time? Is my grass watered enough? I don't want to destroy my crops. So that's not so right. And that's not the way the Torah wanted us to rest. So ideally, that's not the way to work. But technically, it's okay. Ideally, that's not the proper thing to do. The examples that are brought in Talmud, he doesn't quote them here, but there are many examples quoted in Talmud. We gave some of them. You light candles Friday night, they stay lit going into Shabbos. You turn on a light, the electricity keeps running on Shabbos. You put up food to cook, it keeps running into Shabbos. In their day and age, they used to put material into a vat with dye, and then the dye would be absorbed as Shabbos went on, so you were technically your garment was getting colored on Shabbos. In our day and age, an example of that might be if you have something that's really stained and you put it in the wash and you turn on the washing machine, it'll run into Shabbos. Or you stop the washing machine and it sits soaking and getting cleaned, running into Shabbos. You could leave things soaking, even though technically your washing machine is cleaning on Shabbos, the fact that it's sitting there in the wash. So all of these are examples of this idea. Yes?
Shabbos, because a lot of the things you're doing, you're wringing out, and all the spinning cycle doesn't matter. So long as you started it beforehand, you're not technically doing it.
You didn't do anything.
It's permissible technically.
You'll have to be on a Shabbos clock.
I have in mind that I'm forgetting something. I have in mind that there's one aspect I'm forgetting. I remember a response about it, and there was something about it that wasn't simple. I want to look it up. I don't remember. I'm forgetting something now. I want to get back to that next time. So I don't remember why. Right. So that the other examples that the Shulchan Aruch quotes is, the other example is winding up a clock that'll chime on Shabbos. So every time you hear a clock chime, someone wound it on Friday. Their clocks used to ding-dong, yeah, you know, grandfather clocks. So your alarm clock that rings on Shabbos. Now, where do we run into problems, which he did not discuss here, I don't know why. The Talmud says you cannot leave your mill running on Shabbos because av shamilta l'shabata, that's a desecration of Shabbos. Everyone walks around hearing your mill grinding and making noise on Shabbos. That's not nice. So the question is, how far do we draw that line? Meaning, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted that setting up a clock, everyone knows when your clock chimes on Shabbos that you wound it on Friday. And that's okay. But as far as the mill, so that's bothering everyone on Shabbos to hear the noise. Where do we draw that line? So that's a discussion. There were times where not everyone used Shabbos clocks. You guys know what a Shabbos clock is? Basically, it's a simple mechanism, which is you plug into the wall, and you have, you know what? Let me bring it now. I'll bring Shabbos clock Bezat Hashem to next class. I took one apart to show my kids. The question is it still alive or gone? We had a Shabbos clock that went bad, and I took it apart to show them how it works. I have to check with them if it's still around. No, you'll understand better. There are two systems as to how to make Shabbos clock, and it has some halachic relevance, how the Shabbos clock is built. But Bezat Hashem will have to pick up with that next time.